I want you this morning, with your own, if you have your own, this book. You see that? I assume that you know what this is, don't you? If there's someone who says, I don't know what it is, hold your hand, and I won't laugh at you. I am here to help people. But if you've not got one, then they're there in the things, so you can look at them and see. We want to go through this book a little bit, okay? And I want you to turn with me, and I want to turn with you, and I want us to have some knowledge that is important to our lives. You know, the practice of assembling with a church, now listen, is important. Turn, first of all, in your Bible to the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Go as fast as you can, because this, I want you to be with these as we go too. In Hebrews chapter 10, let's begin picking with verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the days approaching. Does that mean anything to you? Here it was long, long ago about these who are saying we need to consider one another to provoke unto love and good work. Why? Well, it's going to help us a whole lot better as we look out in our daily places going and coming. Such may not always be the case. So in New Testament times, there were many good congregations. That's great. Many good congregations. But some were not what they should have been. Now, while you've got your books here, your Bible, I want you to turn over to the book of Revelation. Now, this should be easy for you because you are studying Hebrews this time. Not Hebrews, but Revelation here. And I want you to look at chapter 2 or 1. Coming on down to Revelation chapter 2, verse 4. The writer says, nevertheless, I have some what against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. What is it? First love. Revelation 2, 4. Look over in 14. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them, and they hold the doctrines of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sanctified unto idols, and the commitment to the far ones. Brethren, we'll look at these, and you can go on over to chapter 3 and verse 2 and verses 15 and verse 17. And these are things that are going out that will help people if they study their Bibles, if they go out and do the things that they should. What is it then that the measure of a strong church, the building or lack of it, should be strong? You know, you look around us today, and especially since we've had these problems with so many, we're looking around and we're seeing things in the world of today that has brought out a lot of problems and a lot of difficulties. Brethren, what is the measure of a strong church? It's the building. It's the numbers. The number of programs, the classes, and that means something to us. Or how smoothly it runs as an organization with its coming departure. Congregation can have all these things. Now listen to me. They can hear all of these things. That we've got a building, we've got number of programs, we've got smooth things, but a congregation can have all these things and still be dead. What's wrong? You know, you go out and you look at the religious people and you see their numbers are just going down, down, down. And the thing that bothers me is that the church is doing that. We're not listening. We're not growing. We're getting up with this and with that. And I don't mean to make problems or fun out of members of the church, but we can, in my book, this is just my book, that we can, if we're not careful, we just say, well, I don't know whether I should or not. I'm just going to stay home. I'm just going to stay and listen there. Now, I have I have a sister who's a few years older than I am. And then I have another sister that's a little bit older than that. So I'm the young one right now. The other three have died long ago. But what it is that we need, a congregation can have all of these things with people, but it can kill them. They die because they're not thinking of the church. They're not thinking of the Bible. They're not thinking of what needs to be done. Do you get it? And so it is that, in other words, a strong church is one that can do good. A body, a family, a temple, a kingdom, a bride, all these things are given us a measure. In other words, a strong church is one that listens. Now get this. A strong church is one that functions like a body. Spiritual body. In 1 Corinthians, if you want to flip over there for just a moment, and as I say, I want us to do this a little bit. I know our preacher, he's got them all memorized. That's fine. I have no problem with that. I used to have that too until I got old. And that's what happened. I kept saying, "Self, what's wrong?" Well, I don't know. But they work on you. But I love it. And I'm slowly, slowly, slowly. Joyce is doing good. What made that now? And I'm not. But she'll take care of me, I hope. But anyway, look over in 1 Corinthians 12:27. 1 Corinthians 12:27. Now you are Christ's body and individually members of it. The church is the body of Christ. And that can be very helpful for us. The body of Christ has many, many members. Romans chapter 12. Look at that. Romans chapter 12. Pick up at verse 3. And let's begin looking. Romans chapter 12, 3 and following. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think sober, according as God hath dealt to every man that measures of faith. You know, I was reading that along, and we've got some more to say on this. But for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly. You know, I sometimes get the feeling that some of us preachers get just a little bit more highly than we need to be. They're a little high-headed, and they think they're great. Well, many of them have the greatest rooms that they can get into. But listen, brethren, this is important. This is important for us. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have one of the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and another one in members of one another, having these gifts differing accordingly to the grace that is given to us. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy as according to the proposition of faith. Brethren, I worked on this for two days. And I said to Joyce, I said, now I'm going to get this down for our congregation. And I start reading, and it just, my eyes go. I don't know what it is. So help me tonight, if you will. A strong family is one where there is, now notice these, they notice concern for one another. Do you do that? Do you come to church and you shake one another's hands? Are you show the love that they have for them? They have what we talk with them. So a strong family is one where there is concern, where there is care for each other. I care my brother here. I care my sister here. I love all of you. We care for that. And then, number three, we love for one another. Read sometime in your own Bible that the church at Thessalonica is a good to that. If you've got your Bibles there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you. For ye yourselves are taught of blood to love one another, and indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more. In this second thought, we were saying love for a family. That's so important in our lives of today. We need to develop a sense of family that requires a willingness to know one another, taking advantage of the opportunities then in our world of today. But how we do with one another will be a true measure of the strength of the church. Listen, brethren. Now, pay attention to this, if you will. I know it's boring. Maybe it's stuff. I'm not doing a good job of it. But I want you to think about this. temples of old were built to glorify the beginning to which they were dedicated. Their design of their structures of herself were designed to praise. Temples then were good. Now listen to this. In point B, the church is God's temple today. 1 Corinthians 6. Have you ever read this? 1 Corinthians 6, beginning at verse chapter 3. And then, look at what it has to say. Okay? We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16, 17. Knowing ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Do you read that a lot? I'm sure if you've been here any length of time and heard our preacher preach, he's covered these things some way to us. And here it is, if any man defile the temple... That's wrong. And people have to realize that God's Word is important. We can't just take it out and forget it, but to submit to it. As we, the Colossians, know of what they've been doing themselves. A kingdom suggests a king to which subjects submit and obey. Unfortunately, many churches are more than the kingdom of England, where the king or the queen are a symbol figure head. The true decision-making power is in a permanent. Strong church, we need that. And we need it, as I think most of you do. You go every week, and you study, and you study, and you study. If you're one of our guy, it's just, he's so good for you. If you listen and follow. Another one is pure as a bride. Paul thought of the church as a bride. Look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 1 and 2. Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and instead bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused to you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. One that he had betrothed, and one that is a responsibility to hear these things. Brethren, it is important that we as Christians can help to teach others the truth. John was told of the future marriage, the bride awaiting marriage. We must maintain our purity and adornment. Brethren, I don't know. As I go down the pathway of life, and I think Well, it's pretty good, but it's nothing great. Let's go on and do things that we want to do and not things that we need to do. You know, the measure of a strong church for us is God's children. It functions like a body, loves like a family, praises like a temple, submits like a kingdom, is pure as a bride. I believe those are things that we need to have put in our things, that we need to know. Family, temple, kingdom, bride. How each person does his or her part will have an affected one, the measure of the church. But we may be just like the church at Sardis. You have a name. We have something important, more than we ever thought. The Bible wanted to know, from whence do I come? You ever think that? You ever go out a day, off to work? You go off to this, you go off to that, you sit down by the TV. Not wrong. But we wonder, from whence do you come? Why are many origins important? Because I know where I am coming from, and it will be to decide where I'm going. What is my life? You think of that? What's my life? What am I concerned about? And it is that what is my life means life. But years, achievements, wealth, popularity, travel, the days are our years, 70 years and 10. And if by reason of strength, they be 80 years. For it is soon cut off and willfully away. Isn't that something to think about? One day, unless Jesus comes, we'll think of one thing, and sometimes too late. Now, brethren, let me ask you this. This is important. What is my mission in life? Is that in your mind? Is that in your thoughts? Is that what's going on? What do I really want to accomplish in the time I'm here before I die? I can remember, it was quite a while, when all of us children would try to get together and be with Mom and Dad on Christmas Day. But then soon those begin to miss. And you get the oldest one, he's got a family, and he's not always able to get down. But on and on it was. What is my mission in life? What do I really want to accomplish, brethren? What can it be for yours? And these last thoughts here before we'll call it a closing one. God appointed in the church helpers, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28. God appointed in the church apostles, prophets, teachers, workers of miracles, and various other assignments. That's the way the little one gets to it, I guess. Most people are not listening for that. They want the prophets. They want the teachers. They want the miracles. They want other things that seem to be important and not for us. What would the church do without the helpers? What comes along? They keep the building clean, prepare the communion, put pencils in their place, strengthen the songbooks, serve at the welcome center, greet the guests, serve in the audio and video, take out trash, send cards, prepare food, arrange the chairs in our Bible class, sew handbags for those who need, engage in prayer for others, and perform a host of things. What indeed would we do without the helpers? I have a hard time figuring this thing when I should be working other things too. But my mind, it's not going like it used to. Helpers are essential in the life of the church. Thank God for the helpers. They often serve without recognition, but God saw a need for them and placed them in the church. They may be tucked away in the midst of the apostles, prophets, and teachers, but what the church can do without them? Helpers. They're shiny ones. Brethren, we're looking out about us. I don't know, but I doubt. I really do doubt. I probably won't be able to teach you another sermon. It's getting too hard. And I need to do that away. But if we have one here this morning, and I don't know, I think I know most of them, but if these children or adults are going to look around, we'd like to see them be members here, and we'd like to seek them do the things that God has for you. If you need to make any knowns to the elders here, they'll be glad to help you in whatever way. So be with us as we stand and as we sing.